5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top 5 at 5 on the Rocon Show, sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
It's an awkward edit, if I've ever heard one. All right, here we go. The top 5 at 5, and we're up to... Beginning at
number 5.
That's how that goes. All right, the mayor fired the police superintendent today, effective immediately, for intentionally misleading her and the public about his conduct when he was found asleep in his running vehicle at a stop sign after a late weeknight out in October.
Mm-hmm.
I'm often at a late weeknight out in October.
How often are you asleep in a running car?
I've never been asleep in
a
running
car.
Okay,
that's good.
I don't think. Let me go back.
Oh, goodness.
Certainly
excuse
not,
me, he's knocking. Excuse me, sir. Are you sleeping?
Well, I have been asleep in a running car, but not driving
not
the car
driving
at the time.
It.
Okay.
I would say that. That's for sure. And I think I was 8 the last time that happened. Anyway, so the mayor was on with Anna DeVlantis today on her new show, starting at 1 o'clock, 1 to 3 every afternoon before this show, and was asked if the inspector general's report will be made public.
The investigation is still ongoing. There are others whose conduct is being evaluated and some additional facts I think that the Inspector General is going to be focusing on. So I don't have a timeline and I didn't ask. It's important that his investigation remain independent. But it certainly would be my expectation that once it's finalized, that'll be an issue that will be considered by the city's Corporation Council. You may be aware, City Council passed an ordinance a couple months back that allowed for the disclosure of certain of the IG reports and on areas of high interest in the public, and I would think that this would fall into that definition.
You know what she could have done? She could have just said yes to that question. That would have, I mean, I understand what she's doing. She's very impressive. I will say this. There's a reason I think that Chicagoans overwhelmingly voted for her. Mm-hmm. 3 out of 4 voters in the April runoff election voted for her. It's because she's got a total no BS kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You can just tell. She doesn't take much. She's just going to tell you what it is. She doesn't owe anybody anything in this town, really. I mean, we're not quite sure. But
that we know of.
Right.
Doesn't everybody owe somebody something?
Yeah, well, that's probably true. But, I mean, she doesn't seem to be caught in that system. Here's Steve Bertrand asking about whether or not she took the line seriously or personally.
Obviously, I'm disappointed that he told me something that turned out to fundamentally not be true. But I do think about his young son. I'm a mom myself. My daughter is not much older than his youngest. And, he absolutely made mistakes, real serious mistakes in judgment and conduct. But, you know, I also realize that you have to take the longer view. I'm hoping that he will find some redemption because I do, as a person of faith, I believe in redemption. And it's not my narrative to tell. It's his story. It's not my story.
There's going to be so much more to this story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, the investigation's still ongoing.
Yeah. Apparently, though, she's getting this from the Inspector General, as you heard in the long first answer there. She's getting this from the Inspector General report. In the Inspector General report, she was able to see an early draft of it. So one would assume if you're seeing an early draft, that means it's pretty much locked up. And now the question is, mm-hmm. you know, when does it come out and how does it come out? This process now, once it's been drafted, is a question of running it past another board of lawyers who are going to be looking at it and potential prosecutors and people like that to make a decision about where it goes from here. Because there will be union issues here. Mm-hmm. There will be...
He's heading into retirement. What does it mean for his retirement?
Yeah. Exactly.
And she keeps continues to bring up making the point of the personal component of it all, which it means something.
Right. And we know he was, he's an exempt officer now, so he's not in the union currently. I know people are going to go, well, he's not in the union, but he was as a Chicago police officer. And then there will be a lot, there's a lot of jockeying that goes on in labor disputes like this. So we'll have to watch this. This story, though, is going to get, I think, worse for him before it gets better.
Mm-hmm.
the 4, 3, 2, and 1 coming your way. But first, Lauren, what's going on upstairs and downstairs?
For News at 10, watch WGN, Micah Mater, Joe Donald, that's our guy, Dan Rohn, and Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling. For TV News at 10, watch Chicago's very own WGN.
It's true, he's our guy. It's our guy. All right. Thank you. Let's check in on the top 5 at
number 4.
Oh, hi, everybody. It's Olivia Jade. Welcome back to my YouTube channel.
Yep, there
finally,
she is.
She's back. I've been lost without Olivia Jade.
Yay! Who is she?
She is the daughter of Lori Loughlin.
Oh.
Who's right. Going to go away for the rest of her life for trying to get her kid into a good college.
That kid.
That kid who was like, I don't really want to go to college because, like, I really want to be an Instagram star.
Shut up, Olivia Jade. Get in the rowboat. You're a rower.
Now, you're going to stand here against this green screen. Now, hold your hands out like you're holding an oar. We're going to digitally insert the oar later. So just write.
What's an oar?
Right, don't worry. Just stand there like, oh, let me move your hand. Okay, stand there like this. Okay, you got it. Stand there. Smile.
Anybody ask, you're an All-American rower.
What's a rower?
Rower, whatever the term is.
Oh, now she has broken her silence, but really not, because she can't talk about any of it on social media. She is an influencer, though. She still is an influencer. And she did post her first, you just heard it, the first YouTube vlog in a long time, but 8 months since that happened. And she is so upset that she can't tell the whole story.
Obviously, I've been gone for really long time, and as much as I wish I could talk about all of this, it's really hard for me to say this just because I know that it's something that needs to be addressed. It's just, unfortunately, which is also why I didn't know exactly when I should come back to YouTube, but the reason for that is just because I'm legally not allowed to speak on anything going on right now. I want to come back. There's no point in me just talking for 10 minutes to the camera about how I wish I could say something when I really can't. So I'm going to leave it at that.
But I did it anyways, yeah.
Just shut up!
She's an inspiration.
You're so brave, Olivia Jade.
I mean, the whole thing is just a ridiculous story. You know? Yeah.
I mean, and then you're wondering, now, was it USC or UCLA?
USC.
USC. So at USC, they weren't going to take her unless she was a rowing star. Did you hear how absolutely vapid she is? I mean, I know she's like an 18, 19-year-old girl, whatever she is right now. And I don't anticipate from a lot of 18 or 19-year-olds that they're going to be brilliant. But the whole idea is that Lori Loughlin is, you know, trying to jam her into a school that she's clearly not qualified for. And that alone should get her 30 years in the pokey right there.
But there are so many people watching this unfold. And there are so many, like, rich parents out there that are like, please don't find anything on me.
Oh, yeah, there's going to be plenty out there.
Find out that I bought an extension to the library at the university.
Let me just explain a problem that's going to happen here. Arizona State is going to have a 400,000 enrollment before this is all said and done. Because they let everybody in. And it's like the backup school for backup schools for backup schools. And, like, all the celebrity kids are going to end up at Arizona State.
Good broadcasting school, though.
Yes, Cronkite.
Yes.
Cronkite School of Journalism.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, checking in at
number 3.
Matt Nagy addressed the media before the practice today and talked about the growing chemistry he sees between his quarterback and wide receivers.
I think every receiver has the timing and the trust comes with experience and with experience. So the more plays you have with that guy, the more trust you'll get in particular routes. And some of these guys, again, even going back to last year, it's our first year in this offense last year. So all these routes and the different coverages you get take time. So probably to answer your question, yeah, there's a little bit of trust that gets earned over time. It's starting to develop more and more with more receivers on our team with the consistency of those receivers right now.
Oh, we're really buying into it now, aren't we?
Yeah. I mean, I'll say this. Obviously, it's small sample size, but Trubisky probably did have his best game on Thanksgiving. I know the Lions are bad, but he did make some pretty impressive throws in that game.
Well, here's how I know that we are really, we're over our skis here with enthusiasm.
No,
is that the press was asking him about his library of trick plays.
We have libraries in the video, but we like name them crazy names so that even coaches within the building don't know where they're at. So we've even gone as far as like whiting out the font. You know how like on the computer you can put all letters in white? but we know it's there, but it's really not because it's white. So we do that too. We do some crazy things, but we're not. I mean, it's across the league.
Why is it so secretive?
Well, because we can't let it get to people like you.
Right, but you probably don't mind your other coaches getting it.
Oh, you'd be surprised. Yeah, you'd be surprised. Hey, once one person knows, then two people know. So I want nobody to know. I just want to know.
Well, there you go. That's why they're not playing well, because they don't have the plays. They can't find them.
Well, the reason that came up is because the Texans used one of his plays in the game last night at the goal line. And Deshaun Watson, after games, goes, yeah, I think Chicago did it.
Well, they could. Well,
it was that option play, reverse at the goal line. So that's why it was brought up.
But if you've played it, it's on film. Yeah. Then everybody has the play.
No, I'm just giving context to why they were talking about trick plays. Because last night, that was a topic of conversation, Deshaun Watson saying that they stole the play from the Bears. I mean, remember last year when Matt Nagy drew up some fun play designs at the goal line? Tight linemen were catching touchdown passes, and now it's like the most boring offense we've ever seen.
I know. It's really vanilla. And that's,
he just lost it. I bet he just lost it.
Well, and Ditka, Ditka did that. When teams are having fun, they do stuff like that. I mean, you're noticing right now, speaking of Deshaun Watson, if you go to the let's leave Houston and go to Baltimore, they're running a single wing offense in Baltimore.
Yeah, they run some pretty crazy
stuff.
Because
Lamar Jackson can do it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Gives them options. Let's him make plays. The Bears offense completely prohibits Mitch Trubisky from making plays.
Telling you, the single wing might be an answer.
Could be something. Yeah. We saw stuff like that from Nagy last year. Nothing this year, though.
Yeah, but they're not having fun. It's the no fun Bears.
I know.
Have fun. Have fun, Matt Nagy. Hey, just have fun. And we're doing it in whiteout. Okay. Checking in at
number two.
Into the end.
Frozen 2 froze out the competition this weekend, setting two Thanksgiving weekend box office records, $85.2 million over 3 days, and $123.7 million, a lot of numbers here, for a five-day period.
Whew.
So it it comes out on a Wednesday, ends on a Sunday, and it made $123 million.
A lot of cheddar.
I'm really not that surprised, but it's still a large chunk of cash.
Now, it's grossed over $287 million in its first 10 days of release, which beats out Incredibles 2. There's a lot of numbers here. I'm not going to bring all the numbers. Actually, let me do this, because I'm going to see if I can even understand it as I'm bringing you the numbers here. It is now grossed over $287 million in the first 10 days of release, trailing Incredibles 2 by just under $63 million for the same 10-day period. Frozen 2 is now the 17th highest grossing animated film ever, and the sequel takes place 3 years after the events of the first film, Elsa Voice. And once again, now, isn't that funny? That sounds like a house closing right there, is what that sounds like. Like your lawyer hands you the document and goes, here's exactly what you're signing.
The disclaimer at the end of a commercial.
Right. Now, that title song, of course, is sung once again by
Adele.
And you start to hear the strange sound of the North calling her, Elsa, her sister Anna, Kristoff, and Olaf, played respectively by Kristen Bell, Jonathan Josh Gad.
I'm understanding none of this.
I understand none of it either. Anyway, the point is that this one's over. That's what the point of this one is. I just want to tell you that Frozen 2, again, another number. There's just too many numbers in this story.
It's doing well. That's all we need to know.
Did really well. $250 million worldwide so far.
It's having a good run.
I've heard really good things, so
yeah.
If that's anything.
And finally.
Number one.
Rockin', I'm the real McCoy, and I'm headed out west, sucker, because I wanna be a cowboy, baby.
Here's the funny thing. When that record came out in the late 90s, right, and Kid Rock was, one of the hottest. Right, it was one of the hottest acts in America in, 1998, 1999. And, you just kind of knew that the guy was up to no good, right? Because the whole thing is about him being a pimp and is it having the girls at the Four Seasons for all the right reasons? It was whatever he was doing. That's just what he was doing. And you knew the guy was kind of a little nuts.
The bad boy cowboy.
Right. a cowboy rapper.
Yeah.
You know, it
crossover
was,
situation.
Yeah. When you have a cowboy rapper, you know something's you know that the guy has got a Batman-esque sort of two personality thing happening. So now he happened to be at the big honky tonk and steakhouse in Nashville. And he might have had a few drinks. And he gets on stage and he starts getting kind of mad about, of all things, Oprah. And then he was also mad about Joy Behar and Kathy Lee Gifford. And what?
Hey, I'm like Oprah Winfrey or Joy Behar. Oprah Winfrey. And I'm the guy that you want to just be like, hey, I want Kid Rock on my side. I'm not the bad guy in that equation. I'm the guy you want, like, hey, he's pretty cool.
No.
And if you say that, you're like, hey, well, pretty sure Kid Rock's a racist. I'm like,
yeah.
Okay, fine.
So
it's a little hard to make that out, but basically he does not like Oprah or Joy Behar, and you definitely want Kid Rock on your side. And
he's a cool dude.
He's a cool dude. Exactly. And people are going to call him a racist, but he's not a racist, but he might be a racist. There's something about rock stars from Michigan. There's just a thing about rock stars from Michigan. I just don't know what it is.
Who has now adopted a country accent. Yeah. It's like an American hockey player developing a Canadian accent.
Well, you go up into the North Woods in Michigan. It's like Floribama up there, except cold. Floribama with snow.
He kind of reminds me of the son of Ted Nugent.
Yes, that's what it is. And they all turn into Ted Nugent at some point. I'm waiting for Marshall Mathers to turn into Ted Nugent. It hasn't happened yet, but I know it's going to. All right, let us now just close this thing up.
The top five at five.